Hello, hello, and welcome to Sanctum Podcast. I am your host, Stephen Sharp Jr. I am joined by Imani Giverts. If you don't know who she is, you need to check the previous episode that we did with her about PCOS. Just finished talking about life and love and perspectives on love and life and becoming different versions of ourselves and the people that we love, taking those journeys with us and loving ourselves. It's just a big love fest. It's just been so wonderful.
It's like Valentine's Day all over again.
It really is Valentine's Day every day. This is actually just completely lifting my mood. I'm so excited.
Good. I'm so excited too. Time for me.
Of course. Yeah, I've not really. I mean, I've been thinking about the podcast, obviously, but I just never really felt like the time to like start getting back to recording. And then life started happening.
Life, that bitch.
Yeah, basically. So I did not have the space to hold space for everyone else, which is kind of like the whole point of this whole thing.
I understand. Wow. Well, hopefully as you create space for yourself, you then will continue to make space for others at your own pace.
Thank you. Yeah, hope that too. That made me really happy.
Isn't it crazy to look back at the year and just be like, or even a few months, like you were saying, a few months, and just be like, wow, look at how far we have come. Like, look at how far you have come, Stephen.
Thank you. Look how far you have come. Like,
thank you. This is my office. It's very messy, so I don't know if I've come that far. I'm sitting in trash.
You can fit a whole couch in your office?
Yeah. It's my little studio space.
This is cute.
Thank you. But I've had a box in here for like 4 weeks. And I just opened it, and now bubble wrap is making the floor. So I don't know if I've come that far. I still have depression days where I don't clean my house. So
honestly, same. Like, there will be boxes just piled up in the foyer. And I'm like, I feel like I should be beyond this. Like, I feel like I should have, there should have been like a click in my brain that was like, you can take your boxes down at the appropriate time.
I gotta hire a husband.
No.
That's where I'm at. No.
That's right. You hire your husband. You do it.
I'm gonna hire a husband. They're gonna be like, honey, to-do list.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You do what you gotta do. It's International Women's Day. You get to do it.
Here's a shout out to Dolly Parton and Shania Twain. Thank you for
reminding
me that I'm a woman. no, but honestly, I was thinking about that when you were just saying like, I should do this. And the idea of should, like, I think we've talked about this before, like the champagne problems of life, like, okay, yeah, like maybe at some point it would be beneficial for the health of ourselves and our spaces to clean up after ourselves. And this is not saying like, okay, let's be lazy, but you know, like I should do this sometimes comes off as like a slap in your own face of like, I should be better.
It's almost like a judgment.
Huge fan of should. I don't think I'm a huge fan of I should do this or I should have done that. It's just like, I will do this when I get to it. Obviously, if you're having a science fair project where you're like, you know, leaving coffee on the table and it's molding for like 6 weeks, yes, you should probably clean that up for the benefit of your health.
If things can start off as I will get to that. Mm-hmm. And then if it prolongs, then it's like, I really should do that.
Right. I should do this because it's good for me, not because it's like I'm judging myself for not being the version of myself that I think I should be.
So true. Like, I talked a lot about this, but the power of words and how we use them for ourselves and how we use them for other people and relationships to other people. And it's really interesting the difference changing a certain word like should to will, anything like that. Like, I constantly catch myself being like, oh, like I'm getting so distracted, like what's going blah blah blah, and I'm like, no, I am being distracted, like I'm allowing my mind to be distracted, and understanding that I will end up getting back on track. This is just part of my chemical makeup. It's just how my brain is wired. my brain goes in 8,000 different directions at the same time, and then I get tired. So
just be graceful with yourself.
Same wavelength. Speaking of things, like, what have you been up to? I know that you're going on tour.
I'm so excited.
I don't know when this will go up, but Imani is going on tour. She will probably be on tour by the time this goes live.
Yeah, if that's the case, then come see me at the Day Seeker show. I can send you dates, but yeah, I'm really excited. I leave in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know, but it's so crazy. Like, I was like, okay, March is going to be a very gentle month. And then all of a sudden, because I was like, I'm going to be on tour for like 6.5 weeks. So I was like, you know, be gentle with yourself during the month of March. But also, like, I'm in a place where I'm just like saying yes to everything that feels like it lines up with who I want to be and what kind of career I want to have and what kind of art I want to make. So March somehow became this like insane month of opportunities to just make art. And I'm so thankful and so excited. I'll be in New York this weekend. I'm so excited. Yeah. So it's been wild. Like, I turned 27 this month, and then all of a sudden, like, just like my emails, Steven, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so excited about life. And I keep telling myself that, especially when I'm like curled over my toilet throwing up, because I'm like constantly nauseous. But that's a whole other rabbit hole. We can touch on the whole like update on PCOS, because, you know, that seems to be my claim to fame here. It's my non-working ovaries, but it's fine. But no, I love life so much. It's so much fun. It's only becoming more fun. And my emails are just like full of opportunities that I am genuinely excited about. And I don't think they would have actually come to me or happened if I didn't step out in this like insane moment of faith and being like, you know what, I'm going to just do this. And anyone who knows me, and I know you know this about me, like, I am a very cautious treader. I tread very lightly. Or that's been my MO for most of my life. It's just like, oh, well, does this make sense financially? Does this make sense? Even socially, for a long time, I was like, does this socially make sense? And at this point, I'm like, I don't care. But
right. I feel like it makes sense to like be sensible and be cautious. Like, you can, like, I think that's a misconception, is that like taking every opportunity to like, you know, manifest things, but you should also take caution into advice. Like,
right.
And go buy like a $15,000 something or other if you don't got that money.
Honey, absolutely not. We are not trying to be in debt. I'm trying to get out of debt. And like, my debt is actually like shockingly not that bad to me. I'm like, any type of debt is bad, just because, like, you know, we're children of the recession. Like, we know what debt did to our parents. So like, it is doing to our parents. So I'm trying not to be that, but that's a whole other like rabbit hole I could go down, of like the whole, like, by trying not to be your parents, you then become them.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But, and not necessarily like the bad things, but like not like the bad or good things about your parents, but just like going down the rabbit hole or going down the trail of like, I don't want to have the debt that my parents had. And then constantly trying to like, I don't know, just feel like it manifests itself in a different way. But anyway, so still treading lightly and with discernment and wise counsel, but at the same time, I'm also stepping a little bit away from that, because I realized that I found myself abusing wise counsel in the sense of like always going to someone to be like, does this make sense? Is this a good idea? Instead of like actually trusting my gut and my instinct. So yeah, that's kind of like what the vibe is right now, where I'm just like leaning into trusting myself and my instincts. And like, if I feel that it needs to have an extra yes or no, then I'll go to someone who I trust and be like, does this make sense? Or like, how would you word this? Otherwise, I'm just at this point, like saying yes to a lot of things that make sense on the calendar and not getting out of bed for less money than I'm worth. And
that's it.
Yeah. I've noticed that like it upsets a lot of people, but it upsets me more if I take a gig that doesn't align with the amount of time and work and effort and also money that that other person's going to make, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then, I have lots of things, but life is great. Overall, life is great. I don't know how you're going to cut that, because that was a lot of things in one. God bless.
It's fine. I'm great. So proud of you for doing that. Going back to not taking on things that are less than what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
That's been something that I've been trying to not only instill in myself, but instill in the people around me, to really know what your worth is. And even if you know what your worth is, add a little bit more to that, because you're probably still undervaluing yourself.
It's know your worth and add tax.
Exactly. And to what you're saying, if you take on a project that is for less than what you're worth, you know, less than the investment that they're making, vice versa, it's going to affect the work. Though you'll reach a point creating where we're hitting some bumps in the road, and you're going to get really frustrated that you even accepted this at a lower rate than what you wanted it to be or what you valued it as. Yes, and that's going to affect everything.
It affects everything. That's so true. And I think, you know, doing stuff like that, I'm learning. This is not something I've mastered yet, but I'm learning. That comes from a place of scarcity and not abundance. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, I need to make my rent or whatever, so I'm just going to take this gig that's a $300 gig, but it really should be a $1,500 gig. But like, I just need the money and blah, blah, blah. And then what I have seen as a pattern, you just keep taking things that aren't actually for you. So like, I've done this in the past where I've taken a gig and it, I mean, at the end of the day, there is beauty and lessons and everything, but I've taken the gig for way less than it should have been, worked way over time, overboard, still didn't meet the amount of money that I needed to make. So I took another gig on top of it and I was just exhausted and stressed the entire time, instead of being like, I can take one really good gig that pays me what I am worth and for what they're asking for. And I can put 110% focus into that instead of being a little bit all over the place. And I've noticed that I'll take a gig that I don't necessarily align with, and then 2 weeks later get offered another gig I have to say no to, which is the gig that I would actually have wanted. But if I had actually trusted and lived in the abundance mindset that like everything is coming to you as it should. And also saying no to something is saying yes to something else. And also saying no to something lets someone else be able to say yes to it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying really hard, especially right chills. Now. Oh, really?
Because it's something that I've said verbatim to myself, and I just got chills because I was like, oh my God.
Look at us go. I love us so much. Wow. But it's so true, Stephen. And it means that you know it too. Like, it is so true. Like, if you believe that there is enough for everyone, you are allowed to say no to something that doesn't like align with the type of artist, the type of person, the type, and this goes for everything. Like, not necessarily, I don't know if my earrings are hitting the AirPods. I think they are. I'm not hearing it. Oh, good. I'm hearing it. See, this is me being extremely self-conscious and being like, this audio is going to be a nightmare to edit, and I just want to make it easier for you. So let me.
I appreciate it. No, don't worry. I got you.
I'm like, hold my earrings, Stephen. Hold on. I got things to say. Hold my earrings.
Hold my earrings.
You're like, I regret this. You're like,
no, absolutely not. You were a joy and a privilege. How dare you?
Thank you. I take everything I just said back. You don't regret this. I don't regret this. I am a joy and a privilege, as are you, Stephen. Hell yeah. We only say nice things about ourselves and then catch ourselves when we don't. I had this conversation yesterday. But what the heck were we talking about a minute ago? Scarcity mindset. Oh, yeah. And in everything, like, saying yes to something is saying no to something else. Saying no to something is saying yes to something else. And I think like this goes in every direction. I think in like relationships, in business, in, you know, saying no to doing things that you don't want to do and saying yes to things you do want to do. I don't know. I just have been having like a little bit of a outer body experience lately of just being like, oh my God, life is happening and I'm happening.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
It's weird. I've been having that too. And like something that you brought up about saying yes to things that you absolutely align with and saying no to those other things, you leave room for rest.
Praise God.
That one of the things that I also noticed is that, you know, by taking on a project that I didn't want and then taking on another project to help offset that other thing, I just ended up burning out because I was doing so many different things and being stretched mm-hmm. in so many different directions. But taking on one or two larger projects or projects that I priced myself at mm-hmm. really well and felt really aligned with, you know, what was going on, it allowed me space to think, to just ponder, to, you know, sort my life out, to, and also to take on things that I personally enjoy that have nothing to do with my career.
That's awesome. And I will say, I want to like jump back into this and say, like, it is a privilege to be able to do these things.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And like, I do not take that lightly. Like, it has taken me, and I know the same for you, years mm-hmm. of saying yes to projects that don't necessarily align, but somehow because everything comes together for good, right? And everything comes together to like benefit you as a person and as an artist. And you might not have the privilege to, you know, say no to things that don't necessarily align. And I think if you can be in that mindset of being like, this is just the season of me having to say yes to a lot of things, it allows you to just be open to whatever those things have to teach you and also the opportunities that come from them. Yeah. So yeah, like I don't want anyone to listen to this and be like, cool, well now I can be picky and say no and then like not be able to pay their rent, like especially if you're new to freelance.
Right, right.
Don't be stupid, okay? Don't be dumb. For context, we've been doing this for a long time. You've put in your time, and like we're gonna get back into seasons where we're gonna be like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to take this, but I feel in my gut and I know that this is gonna have a benefit, and maybe I can bring someone else in on it, and we can have a great collaboration. So I just think, again, that's where discernment comes in, where it's like someone comes to you and they're like, can you do this project for me? And it's something you don't want to do, but like, before you say no, taking a minute to be like, is this because I know there's something else that I need to say yes to? Or is like this me just being like, I don't want to do it. And it's like, don't want to do it. But like right. your bank account is like, girl, if you don't do it, we don't die. You know what I mean?
It's just, again, it's like being sensible. Like yes. truly, like, yes, you can, you should take things that value you entirely. Yeah. And it should be something that you feel very, and even if you, and I'm not going to say that you should feel always feel capable when you're taking on different projects, because there's plenty of projects I've taken on. I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but I'll try.
Yes, all the time. Same.
We'll just see what happens. Mm-hmm. But also, like, look at your bank account, look at your obligations. And if you right. take this gig that's like $1,000 less than what you would normally want, you should probably take it.
You should probably take it and then like ask to be fed that entire day. So that way you don't have to pay for your groceries.
Right. And that's another thing, is ask for the things that you want. But in the freelancer world, there's this idea that the client knows everything, you're there to please the client, mm-hmm. which is very true. However, they are also hiring you for a job that they don't want to do, or they true. Don't feel that they have the capabilities or the qualifications or the expertise, mm-hmm. whatever. There's power there, shouldn't be abused, but there is power there to ask for what you want and not having to over justify what you want by nickel and diming what you're doing.
Lord God, you are speaking to my
sipping
soul.
That tea a little bit.
Let me grab my matcha. Hold on.
Wait.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm prepared with a delicious iced matcha.
But you are so right, Steven. You are so right. And I think, oh my God, owning your power, owning your worth, owning, and this again, freelance and person, and like as a human, knowing what you're worth at the basic level. I think that is something that at least I've struggled with up until this year. Like this past year has been such a gift of just like, and by gift, I mean like, you know, the meme of like Batman slapping Robin across the face, or like Edna Mode being like, pull yourself together.
Yeah.
That has been this last year of being like, girlfriend, like know your worth as a human, as an artist, as an employee, as a freelancer. And I thank God I've been surrounded by such wonderful people, you included, that have just reminded me of that and reminded me of like like you're allowed to ask for what you want. And this is something that I've now just experienced of like, oh my God, what a gift to be able, again, what a privilege, because there are so many people that aren't allowed to ask for what they want or don't even know that they're allowed to ask for what they want. And like, be very firm in it and being like, no, I want this. Like, this is the first time in my life that I'm like, oh, I can actually do anything I want to do. Like I am in a place in my life where I'm allowed to do it. I mean, I've probably been in this place for a long time and had no idea because I lived in this like invisible chain of like, you can only go as far as the people that let you. But another thing I've learned is that like, if you tell yourself that you can't do something, that energy pours out into the people around you. And they're like, well, they're like, they see you as someone who's capped at a certain place. Cause you know, you are a mirror to everything. So oh my God, it's so great to finally be in a place where like me personally, but just for anyone, it's so great to be in a place to know, like I can ask for what I want and people love collaboration. People don't like, not everyone is waiting for you to just say, to be a yes man.
No, I remember you mentioning loving yourself. The thing about it is like people talk about, oh, love yourself, but they don't talk about how like if you talk about loving yourself like vocally, just being like, oh no, but I'm amazing. Like,
yeah,
people get so taken aback. Some like, people get like really, they get like a little offended.
It has everything to do with the other person. This is the thing. If they get offended by you turning around and having self-love for yourself, what it actually is that they're not used to having self-love or vocal self-love for themselves. So if you don't understand something, your immediate reaction is, I'm going to push back on it. So it's a shocker. And it's a shocker for me too. I mean, like, it's one of those things where when I started literally looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, what's up, bitch? Like, I love you. Like, I love you. That like my only like source of love comes from like within and around me and whatever. So like, why would I ever turn around and say like, I don't love you? And it's going to make people uncomfortable, just like it makes us uncomfortable when we first start doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't talk about that is fighting through that initial uncomfortability.
Yeah.
They immediately just like, they'll feel self-conscious and just be like, ugh, and then they don't do it ever.
Well, yeah.
But it's a practice.
It's a practice, just like you would practice, like, you know, perfecting that cocktail that you make that you love so much, or like the art piece that you're making that you are so proud of. Like, you are the art piece. Like, you are the best flavor of a cocktail that you will ever have. Like, and just learning that about yourself and others. And I don't know, this also, I think it stems from me healing from a lot of like religious trauma of like the idea of like, well, you're a dirty sinner. That is like the thing that is, and not everyone says it, not everyone believes it, but I've been around people in the past couple years where it's just like constantly crucifying themselves to justify like what they believe crucified itself for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so just watching that and being like, you don't love yourself. Like, you don't love yourself in the way that like you believe that you're supposed to, or like, I don't know, I'm trying to articulate it properly, but I feel like I can't. It's just a fascinating thing. Like, and watching how people live in this like shame and like, I'm dirty and I'm this and I'm blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, that's not what like the God that you read about in your Bible actually like meant.
Yeah.
Like read the book, stop trying to like justify someone's love for you. And I think that because when you try to like, I feel like when you're trying to justify like your own worth, then you're constantly going to have to justify loving yourself. Like, you don't necessarily have to do that. And I mean, it's a hard thing, especially like if you've like found yourself in places that like you wish that you hadn't been, you know, emotionally, physically, whatever. And you feel shame. Like, I think that is the ultimate blocker of love. Shame and love can't exist together, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating duo, and I don't think that they actually mesh well.
And that leads to like a lot of like mental distress.
A lot of mental distress, because you're trying to like keep people, like these two emotions and feelings at bay.
Yeah, I felt like that a lot when I was working through my own like sexuality, when I was working through just like who I am in a general sense, was conflicting like I was still ashamed of myself while continually trying to encourage myself. So it was just like, oh, you're gross. No, you're fine. Oh, you look terrible. Like, oh, no, you're fine. Like that back and forth is so toxic and creates.
But sometimes necessary, maybe?
A little bit. Like, I think it creates a cycle that we can recognize. And a cycle that you can recognize, you can break.
Ooh, amen. Maybe not necessary, but maybe just a part of the process.
Yeah,
it's just a part of it. And maybe we all, if we find ourselves in this like constant battle, because I love a lot of myself. I love all of myself. Do I like a lot of myself? Not necessarily, which is the battle that I'm like working on. Like, you know, I am for the first time in my life learning to like my body in all of her ways.
Yeah.
Mostly because like she's actually like doing her job and has been given like medication to do her job. So I'm like, good job, girl. Like, what's up? And I also feel like I'm in my body for the first time in a decade where I'm like, oh, this is the body that I was meant to inhabit. And it's like a really fun thing. But also understanding that like I should, there's a should word. I caught it. Because I was originally going to say like I should have been feeling this before I got to a place where I was like, I could look at myself and be like, oh, there you are. Where it's not necessarily I should have, but it's like, man, how much easier would it have been if I felt this way before I got to a place of being like, you know what, I'm gentle with you, I love you. I don't know if you saw that meme I posted the other day, but it's like I bathe myself in a river of compassion and basically just drowning itself. And I wish I would have known how.
Ooh.
I'm so glad I know how now, because there's a difference between self-love and then being full of yourself.
Exactly.
Right? So like self-love is something that it's a flow. It's a circle. Like it's like this invisible loop. The image I had in my dark brain was like a draining tube that you get after surgery. I'm sorry, I'm so gross. I love it.
Oh my god, I can't like even picture that.
I can. So it's like, it's like a draining tube that you get after surgery that's like, or like if you're on dialysis or something, where it's like constantly cleansing your blood and then giving it back to you. We'll go with that. We'll give you the dialysis. Think of dialysis. Like it's cleansing your blood and sending it back, and you're constantly in this like circular motion of purification. Okay. And not in like the weird, like culty way, but like in the actual way. And like self-love is straight up like, I love myself so I can love others. So I'm not constantly projecting onto others, please love me, and taking from others. It's I love myself enough that whatever love you give me is a bonus, but like whatever love I give you is yours to keep. Like it's yours to keep. Like I don't need it back. You know, I'm like
waking. I've used those words verbatim.
I love this. What is good, Steven?
It's true. Like when you love yourself enough, like everything else is bonus.
Everything else is a bonus. I'm enough. So anything else is a bonus. And like I say this about like relationships a lot. I've like walked through a lot of different relationships with my friends and like how it's been devastating for a lot of people to like be out of a relationship and then be like, you know, I just don't understand. And it would be like, now I don't feel loved anymore. And it's like, well, that just shows that you didn't love yourself before, because like anyone else who comes into your life is such a gift of a bonus. You overflow with love. So whatever love you've given them, they get to keep, you don't need it back. And whatever love or affection, or even if it's pseudo love they've given you, you don't have to keep it either. Like you can just like you have enough love for yourself and everything. Like, yeah, I don't know. Words are coming out. And I'm like, are they making sense? Do they align?
They're hitting all the nails on the head, because it is awesome. So true. And I think you've touched on a very, very important point.
Thank you. But also you teach people how to treat you and in turn teach people how to treat others, where like I've had conversations where people are like,
yes.
And like, they're like, you don't have to be someone's teacher, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, but people that you come in contact with are constantly teaching you things if you are open to understanding them. So what a gift it is to like set the standard and teach people, this is how you treat me. And in turn, hopefully, if they learn the lesson, and if I learn the lesson, we all treat people differently in a better way. And we're all progressing into like a better place of community. Also understanding that like unconditional love, I don't know if you and I talked about this. Like, I don't think I am a unconditional lover, and not to like rock the boat, shake the house. I think I love everyone. I love you in all conditions.
Oh,
so like, this is what I've like, I'm like working on articulating like how we're like, cause I don't accept abuse. Like, no.
Right.
And I find that when people are like, I love this person unconditionally, they end up staying in places where it tears that like everyone down. No one gets to move forward in a healthy space. Right. So I've like tried to reword it, and I'm like, no, I love you in all conditions. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to stay in a space. And this goes for friendships, work, relationships, your career, for you, like yourself. Oh, that's a whole nother thing of like loving yourself in all conditions. And like relationships, like romantic relationships, like I love you in all conditions. That does not mean I will stay through all conditions. Like, I can love you from afar. I can support you in your endeavors from afar. I can want the best from you up close and from away in the conditions that align with like who we are as people, what we are doing as a career, what we like, you know. I love it too. Honestly, I love it too. And it has helped me in so many ways. Be like, no, I don't accept this behavior from someone who I am, again, should and supposed to love unconditionally. Because that doesn't leave anybody room to grow. And it also doesn't leave anybody room to like, also doesn't leave your brain room to accept that people are different versions of themselves every day, you know? And as we grow, we become a different version of ourselves. So Alex and I had this conversation. Alex rocked my world when we had this conversation. And I talk to everybody about it whenever I get the chance. But it's like making the choice to love someone in every version that they are.
Yeah.
Is like, it's a choice and it's a gift and it's so beautiful and it makes life so much more fun to be like, oh, the person that I chose to be with, I choose this person and I choose to be with all these versions of this person. It has opened my eyes to like what love actually is. And I think of my parents who at first I was like, this is so like, this doesn't make sense as to why you guys are still together for so many different reasons and different areas of life and whatever. And now I can look at them and I'm like, oh my God, they loved each other in every, like at every version of each other. They chose to stay with that version of the person. It's not the same person that they married. Like, the person that you end up marrying is not going to be the person that you met when you guys first started dating.
Right.
You know, we are evolving human beings that are just becoming more and more ourselves. And yeah, I don't know.
That is a very, oh wow. Like, that is such, I can't express how perfect that just aligned in my brain.
Okay, cool. Thank you for saying that, because I felt like I just rambled and went down like, I feel like I'm driving in Nashville right now, dodging a bunch of potholes and like trying to conversate and be like, and then this, and then hold on, bump. Okay. And then.
No, it makes so much sense. I'm so glad it made sense. Because awesome. Like, and I've always said this is, if you're choosing to be with someone, you're choosing to be with them every single day. And that really mm-hmm. does align with, you know, they could wake up a completely different person.
And also we can wake up as completely different person. This is not put everything on the other person ever. It's just like, we're all evolving. I love you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so happy. I don't know. I feel so seen by you. I really do.
Thank you. I feel so seen and heard by you. Like, thank you for listening to me. Not only hearing me, but like taking the time to listen to me is such a gift. So thank you, my friend.
And I'll see you on Saturday.
I'll see you on Saturday. I cannot wait. I need to go plan my outfits because I cannot show up there with my pants around my ankles, you know, in any physical, emotional, spiritual form. I must be put together for this date. So
you can show up in a sack and I'd be like, oh my gosh.
I know.
My favorite person is here. I love her so much.
Thank you. I love you too. And honestly, don't threaten me with a good time. You know, I'll show up without a bra on, which is like my favorite thing to do.
Girl, it's not the strangest thing you that people are gonna see in the city.
I know,
and it's not the strangest thing I've seen either. Like,
hold on, I have to take a picture of us. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Cute.
You look amazing.
Oh, I love the smiling one. We look good.
You're so cute. I can't stand it. If you enjoyed today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button on the listening platform of your choice. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at Sanctum Podcast, and you can follow me at Stephen Sharp Jr. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.
Have you seen White Chicks?
I've not. So many people have referenced this film, and I've not seen it.
If it was made in the year of 2020, 2021, 2022, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it would be canceled.
Canceled so fast.
It'd be canceled so fast, but because it was made in the year of baby Jesus, let me tell you, that junk is funny. And there's this one part in the movie where, I'm not gonna give it away, but like the girls go, "Hold my poodle, hold my poodle." And I always think about it every time I take my earrings out. I'm like, hold my earrings. Anyway, scarcity mindset, back to that.
God, I can't.
Oh God, why?